I would appreciate your prayers. I'd like to start off tonight with a question. How well do you think you know yourself? I mean, are you impartial when you come to looking at yourself? You think you have any biases when you look at your own life? If there was another person that you had to deal with that was exactly like you, would you get along with them? Or what if it was a whole congregation of you? Would that be a good congregation, you think? Do you see yourself accurately, you think? It's just a question. Because I know that there is certain elements of humanity that pop up every once in a while, and that's kind of one of them that we have to deal with, is our biases to our own selves, the way we would take care of our own self-interest. If we're not careful, we'll bend more for ourselves than we would someone else, those kind of things. We have a tendency to look at ourselves in the most favorable way, those kind of things. I've told this many times, but it fits it, so I'm going to tell it again. A number of years ago now, there was a very famous sports figure that was at the height of his game. It was Michael Jordan, and he's still looked at as probably one of the greatest basketball players of all time. He had won like three NBA championships with the team he played with, and kind of got tired of basketball and wanted to follow another sport that he had played earlier in his life, so he decided that he was going to play baseball. Now, I remember when Michael Jordan started playing baseball. I remember hearing some sports guys talking about it, and they went and interviewed, low-level players. They went and interviewed some of the outstanding athletes of the day in different sports, big names. And they went and interviewed them and asked them, what do you think the chances of Michael Jordan being able to be successful as a Major League Baseball player? And everyone they asked, without exception, it wasn't just a few, I mean, everyone they asked said no, that he was a great athlete and he was a great basketball player. But the game of baseball is totally a different game, and that he would not be successful at being able to make that transition. And they probably looked at that more accurate. They was probably more accurate about that than Michael Jordan himself was. Then they asked every one of these players if they thought that they could do it, cross sports. Every one of them to the man said yes. Michael Jordan, the great athlete, couldn't have, but when they looked at it, they saw what they thought of themselves about it, and the fact that maybe they did hit a baseball one time, or maybe they thought they could corral that or do it. But I said that to say this: they probably all was wrong. But the bias that they had for themselves about that was very noticeable. Amen. Well, that's pretty trivial and meaningless. But it does set the idea of the way we can look at our own selves. Do you ever think that maybe the way you are could be troublesome to yourself and to your family, to your neighborhood, maybe even to the church? Do you ever think about, I mean, there's a fine line between a bad personality and things that can be created. You know, I understand there's all of this, but we really don't look at ourselves very well. And that's what I want to look at it tonight. Lord, help us, because there is a remedy. There is a remedy for this. First scripture I want to look at, it's a very familiar scripture in Psalms, 139th Psalm. Oh, let's see, about 20. 23 says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." This obviously is coming from a person that has got to a position that they have not considered themselves to know themselves totally. The only way I think that you could write this like this was with a great acknowledgement that I cannot see myself totally. I do not make the best decisions and see myself the way that I would see it. I can be biased and partial about my own self. And so because I know that I can do this, and because I don't know altogether what's right and what it is, and I can't see to the depths of my heart why I do what I do, when I do, and how I do it, I can't see that all the time, then there's a cry that comes out that I want it to be our cry tonight. And the cry is, "Lord, search me. I will put blinders on in areas, and I'll make excuses for areas, and I'll make things that I know my heart. I know I want it to be right, but I want it to do that." But the idea is, "Oh Lord, the one that sees everything. Lord, if I acknowledge, if I ask you the question tonight, do you see yourself totally accurate?" And you was to answer that question yes, then you're probably eliminated from what I'm about to say. Because if you feel like that there's no place there to need the Lord to look into, but if we have the humble heart of saying, there's no experience yet. I haven't got through an experience that I don't need the Lord to be looking in on me. I don't have an experience to where I've understood everything about myself. I know there's things that when I walk close to the Lord that I seem to do well with, and when I'm not as close as I should be, sometimes things come out that I don't know where they come from. I don't know why I'm weak in that area like I am. And so I need to be able to humble myself and say, "Oh Lord, search me. Look into me." If I knew, I wouldn't say that. If I thought like I had it all, I wouldn't need that. But I don't. And so, "Lord, search me. You look into me. What's this writer wanting?" He's wanting a deeper relationship with the Lord. He's wanting the things that trouble him, the things that's his fault, the things that I do, the weakness that I have that causes problems. I want to see that. Now I want to tell you, when you say this, you better mean it. Because there's a process. Many times there's a process. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." Try me is if you mean this. Try me is one of those places to where the circumstance of life comes and in school they call it an exam. It's a test. You know what a test is for? You know what it's for in school? Well, it's to find out what you know. And to find out what you don't. Amen. To find out how much you know and what position you're in and how much you know. And you, there's letter grades. There's A pluses and A's and B pluses, B. There's a letter grade of things that, and you can come in and you can be a pretty good student. And you can be in the B, A's and B's. But there's always an improvement area in there. And this idea of, "Lord, try me. Put me to the test." I don't want to. I wouldn't want to ask for hardships, or I don't want to ask for pains. But I do want to. I do want to get victory over the things that's in my life. I want victories, and I don't know how to do it. I don't see it of myself, and I can be very biased about it, and I can feel like it's always worse when you do it. And it's we are kind of like that. Maybe you don't like the obvious human nature, but it's out there everywhere. I mean, it really is out there everywhere. These things that you don't see yourself exactly. Well, I'll give you a little illustration. I have some friends over in Pakistan that I met about a year and a half ago, and I talked with them on there. And one day I was talking to this sister. There's a couple brothers and there's four of them. There's two brothers and two sisters, and the sister had made the comment that the other sister that's married and has children are coming to their house. And I said, "Well, that must be exciting for you all that is coming to stay for a week. You must be really excited." And She said, well, kind of. And I was like, oh, what? I mean, this is trouble in paradise here. What's the problem? And they have two children that stays there in their house. Her brother has two children, and her sister has two children the same age. And the other children is coming, and his children said, I said, well, oh, it sounds like there's a problem. Not that. We love them very much. And I said, well, there's some problem. And he said, yeah. Yeah, there is. They don't discipline their children very good. Uh-oh. Have you ever heard of such a thing? Even all the way halfway around the world in Pakistan, they dealing with the same humanity that everybody here is. And I said, really, they don't, you know, no, they let their children do stuff, and, you know, and I happen to know that the things she was saying, I've known them long enough, is exactly the same thing that the other children do. It's children, but there's this grinding, you know what I'm talking about, there's this humanity in there, and all this, and she says, well, you know what the problem is, don't you? Well, I said, I really don't. They're raised by with their grandparents. Oh, that answers it all. You know how pet grandparents are with their grandchildren. You know, humans are humans, and they're humans everywhere they go. It's the same thing everywhere you go. Another time she makes the comment that her and her brother was fighting, and I said, why are you fighting with your brother? Well, said, because I sweep the floor, and he comes in here, and he don't take his shoes off, and he comes right walking right on here, and I said, it's the same everywhere. It's the same. Has any sister in here ever swept the floor and got it messed up? I mean, it's the same. It's the same everywhere. And what I'm saying here, this idea about the way we feel about ourselves, we need the Lord. Yes. We need the Lord to look into that. Yes. Those things, it don't matter about so much about the floor being dirty, and it don't matter about being the athletes and all those things. But there is things that really matters about our lives that we can look at, that the Lord really wants to change in our lives, and He may never get the opportunity because we never allow Him to look in there. We never allow it to go beyond that. And the prayer is beyond saying, God, you take care of me when I don't even care about it or anything. No, there's a heart there to say, Lord, make me what you want me to be. You know, it's one of our prayers. Make me what you would have me to be. Lord, search me. See if there's any wicked way in me. See if part of the problems that I have in life is so easy to say, yeah, my neighbors. It's so easy to say, my wife's hard to get along with. It's easy to say, yeah, the children. But what about maybe there's some of it's my fault? Maybe some of the agitations that they're having is an agitation for my personality. I do speak real quick. I do certain things. Lord, search me. Put me to the test. Let me see. Let me learn better what's going on with this. Because to be honest with you, there's something about us that protects ourselves. And unless the Lord helps us to get over those places, we don't. Many times we don't. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. You know, I think this writing is obviously somebody that is reaching for our help from the Lord, and they want help from the Lord. For one thing, I don't think the Lord needs to search. I think He already knows where it's at. I don't think He needs to try to see your thoughts. He already knows your thoughts. I don't think that He has to go through the process of that. I think the cry is, Lord, you see that? How are you going to get it to me? Help, get it to me. Help me to be able to deal with that part of my life, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. To see if there's any wicked way in me, Lord, show me, help me with this way that might be a wicked way. If you don't help me, I won't be able to do it on my own. So help me in this kind of place. Over in Matthew 26th chapter. Oh, let's see. I want to pick it up. 31st, maybe, of 26th chapter of Matthew. Then saith Jesus unto them, all you shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. This is in red letters. This is Jesus speaking, okay? Now, I want to set a background to the one that was speaking. No man spake like this man spake. This was the man that they knew was that he turned water to wine. Okay, I just want to make a few points here about the man that spoke. The man that spoke was the one that gave the blind man his sight back. This was the one that made the lame man to walk again. This was the one that had cast out devils. This is the one that had proved his ministry over and over by miracles, so much to the point that when Nicodemus said that, he said, "We know thou art of God, because no man can do these miracles unless he be God be with them."
Amen.
That's the one that's speaking here. And yet Peter's own idea of himself overrode the one that did miracles. The one that had proven that he was God. Do you know that our own opinion really shouldn't override the Word of God? It shouldn't override the things that the Lord deals with us with. So, here in this passage, he said, "You're all going to be offended of me, and I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen, I will go before you unto Galilee." Peter answered and said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended." Well, okay, Peter, I was wrong this one time. I mean, come on. I mean, Peter stood up to him right there and was saying, "I know myself. I know the way I feel." You know, I know the way I feel sometimes too. And sometimes it's like a roller coaster. Sometimes I'm ready to tackle anything coming or going. And the next time I'm ready to crawl under a rock. It comes, it goes. I can be in a big camp meeting and the preaching go on and the singing go on. And I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die. I'll die for you. I'm ready to go. Let's go. Then get out of action to battle. And I'm trying to find some place to hide some things. It's the way, I mean, it's the thing. We can see ourselves through that kind of a thing sometimes. Peter's charged up here. Yeah, that's right. There's nobody but Jesus. Nobody but friends standing here. We got friends all the way around me. And I know how I feel to you, Lord. I feel really strong. My passion's strong right now for you. You know, you know what I'm saying? Anybody that's been married very long has got to know what I'm talking about. Because it's, "Honey, I love you so much. You're such a darling sweetheart." And it says, it's lovey, lovey, lovey. And just in seconds, something happens and fires you up. And it's time to dig. You know what I'm saying? And it's like 2 minutes ago, it was like, you know, the greatest thing ever. And just now, let's get out of each other's sight. It's humanity.
Yes, helpful.
Lord, help us. Peter was there. He didn't know. Folks, listen. He did not know what he had. He did not know what he had. He didn't know that he had a weakness in him. He didn't know that he hadn't had the fullest. He had been with the Lord. He was encouraged. He saw him. No, there's nothing could drive me from it. No, nothing but this event that's about to happen. The Lord's words was truer than Peter's emotions was. And it will always be that way. That's why we say, "Search me, O Lord." What makes it? It's not supposed to be lovey-dovey 1 minute and then I can't stand it. No, Lord, what helped me to do? What made me to do that? Lord, help us. What makes us to be that way? Help me. Try me. Put me through this. And all of a sudden, I'm through this. And I'm saying, "Lord, I can be better than that by your grace. Lord, you just showed me that. Help me to be more than what you would have me to be. To show to the world." That's no light to the world. Up and down and in and out. There's no light to the world. They look and say, "We're just like that. What do you got? We ain't God. We do the same thing." Lord, help us to have more than that. Lord, search me. See if there's any wicked way in me. See what the roots of that in there. You know, there's a wonderful salvation. There's a wonderful, a great salvation. And it does a wonderful work on our heart. But it don't stop. It keeps going. And there'll be times in our life all the way through that the Lord wants to work with something else in our life. Lord, show me. And you know what happens? I find it happens. You get victory over something, or taking you somewhere else. There's always another level to get to. There's always another level to get to. Another place to get to. Lord, show me. Search me. That's the cry of the Christian. I can't see it for myself. But Lord, lead me in the way of everlasting. Lead me. I'm not afraid to be rebuked. I'm not afraid to be chastised. Help me to see this that's in my life. I can get there by your grace.
Yes.
Peter says, here in this. We know Peter got there, folks, but this is a time in his life. This is a certain place in his life. Peter answered and said in him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, I know what you're saying, Lord, but you know, this time you're wrong. I mean, the givens there is obviously, he's still doing it. Do you remember when Jesus said to him that one of them was going to betray him? You remember what they said then? Is it I? You know, that every one of them doubted them. Is it I? Wait a minute, we've come a long ways. Who is it going to be? Here, he said, Peter says, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise, listen, because Peter gets the blame here. Likewise also said all of the disciples. every one of them said it. And every one of them would have probably told the Lord. Yeah, the rest of them probably will. But I won't. I know myself. But when it happened, we know the story. I'm not going to read it for time. But you remember what happened in this story? It come down to this time, and somehow there's something different when the sun's shining. Somehow it's different when you're around just friends. But when it gets dark and the old devil brings the doubts to you and you don't know what it's all about and you start thinking too much, and then there's people around you, all around you, and none of them support you. And now it's a whole different scenario, and your heart can be different then. And they come in and it's different, and they said, hey, you're one of them. I'm not. I'm not one of them. Second time, you're one of them. He gets for him, and I am not. I tell you not. The third time, he actually is cursing and swearing and getting ugly about the whole thing and trying to force the whole thing in there. And then the great shock of the remembrance of the Lord's words. Who was right? The Lord was right. Not only about Peter. He was right about all of them. Y'all don't have what it takes. Yes. Y'all don't have enough. We're going to have to stand judgment. Do we have enough? I mean, we're all going to have to face the Lord. We're going to have to stand judgment. Do you have enough? What if the Lord would come and say and challenge you? Do you have enough to stand before God? You really have it? Well, right now it's in a camp meeting. You feel good. We've had a good meeting. Everything's on the upbeat. What about judgment? What about having to give an account? That changes. Lord, help us. Lord, search me here. Search my heart. Look into me. See if there's any wicked way. Bring it to the top. Bring my frustration down. Why do I get frustrated like I do? Why do these things happen the way they do? Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's nobody here like this, but in a group this large, there almost probably is. And getting somebody that smites your finger with a hammer, and the hammer goes flying. Maybe somebody in here that used to throw the hammer, that don't throw the hammer. You don't live close to the Lord, you go throw the hammer. Or kick the dog. Or whatever the event is in there that you say, I wish I hadn't done that. What makes me do it? Lord, search me. Yes. Well, I ain't hit my hand with a hammer in a while, so I don't know. I don't know, but I am feeling a certain way. Lord, try me. Oh, uh-oh. Lord's going to try with something because I need to be tried. Yes. Lord, help me to be what you would have me to be. Not in pretense, not in just words, but as a reality that somebody looking on at my life. Oh, I told this before too, but I was working on my car one day. Thank the Lord I had grace. Thank the Lord I'd been close to the Lord. I was working on my car and I had this piece I needed to break open. I got a flat screwdriver and I was holding it like this. And that screwdriver slipped and it went right in under that fingernail. That screwdriver did right in under and popped out the backside of my fingernail. I want to tell you that hurt. And it hurt, ow, hurt. It hurt, squalling hurt. I let out a big hoop and grabbed my finger and danced around a little bit. And then I thought, oh no, is there any neighbors looking? I mean, I wasn't saying or doing anything bad, but it just hurt. And you know what? I can remember thinking, thank the Lord. It hurt, but I've got victory. Yes, Lord, help us tonight. Proverbs 28 and 26, familiar scripture, says it this way. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. That's pretty plain That's pretty plain speaking. He that trusts in his own heart is a fool. And why? Why does the scripture say that? Like that? Do you know your heart will deceive you?
Yes. Amen.
It's why the saints have taught and is right to teach in young people's courtships and stuff that there are certain boundaries and certain places that you don't go and what you don't do because you think you control your heart and your heart controls you. You think you can get through that, and you can't get it. You can't do it. Your heart, you get your heart on something. That's why we say, don't do it. Don't lend your heart out easy. Don't just give it to anybody. Just don't do that. You think that you can draw it back, and you can't draw it back. And all of a sudden, love's involved in it, and the heart's involved in it, and no sound counsel can break it because the heart will, I'm going to tell you, you're a fool to trust in it. Because once the heart's in something, folks, there can be a mountain of evidence. And it will not change it. Never was anyone so blind that him who would not see. Because of the heart. And a heart issue. And you can look into the world today and see in the political realms and in all the realms that you want to talk about and some of the most foolish ideas that's easy to knock down. And people will not because their heart's involved. In the outcome of it, they will not believe what that simple truth is. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And so it's best for us to say, Lord, my heart needs to be the heart that you put in there. My heart, Lord, is to you. The scripture teaches us to love the truth. You know that's really important.
Amen.
To love the truth.
That's right.
Because the truth comes through and no matter what it is. I'm not after the agenda. I'm not trying to prove anything. I'm just simply after the truth for my never dying soul. Give me what the truth is. But I'm a little biased towards myself with that. So Lord, help me to be able to search me. And I open my heart up to your understanding. We'll look at another scripture. Oh, this one's over in Revelations. I think I want the third chapter, maybe. 14th verse. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich. Because thou sayest.
Right.
This was a, what do you say, an evaluation of themselves.
Right.
This is the way I see myself.
Amen.
I got it. I got it. There was another man in the scripture that evaluated himself. He said, Lord, I thank God that I ain't as other men are. Well, I fast twice a week. I give alms and all that I have. I got an evaluation of myself, and my evaluation of myself is you can't get no higher than me. I have this letter down to the letter. I got it all right, so much so that he seemed to make God a debtor to him. Lord, you owe me. I mean, I've done everything in such a pattern, in such a way, that I am so good, so high, so pleasing. I thank God that I'm not just like somebody else. And you know what? He was somebody that should have stopped and said, you know what? You should be devout. You should fast. You should pray. You should do the things of devotion. You should do all of that. But what good is it if it's done like that? He should have been the one that said, Lord, search my heart.
Amen.
Lord, search me to see if I'm doing it the right, in the right way that you want me to do it.
Amen.
He says here, thou sayest that you're rich. Because thou sayest I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Could a Christian ever in the history of Christianity actually make this statement accurately? I have need of nothing.
No.
I have need of nothing. Oh, Lord, help. The need is great. Lord, I acknowledge I need you every day. I need the grace of God. Lord, I need more power from you. Lord, I need a closer relationship. Lord, I can't make this statement. Maybe you can be in a place that you can have worldly wealth, but if you feel the richness of it, can a Christian ever say that what this man said? I say, I'm rich and increased with goods, and I don't have any need because of it. The prayer should be in those kind of places. Search me, O Lord. Search me. Try me. See if there's any evil or wicked way in there. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Who? Me? Then what a disconnect between the reality of a person's life and what they believed of themselves. It was astounding. How can you think so far away from that? Is it possible that you and I could become so religious that we don't see ourselves? Is it possible that we lose the real heart and spirit of Christ and what he wants to do? There's all these. I know the Lord wants us to live, and he's taught us all this. It's all valuable and true. But somehow I think sometimes we forget the idea that the Lord's passion, his real passion, wasn't these little particulars. Amen. They're things that hold us, but that he said, unless you do this to the least of my brother, you don't take care of them, you don't feed them, you don't help them. If you don't do it to them, you don't do it to me. There had to be a heart different in there. Do you have that heart? Are you willing to see? Do I have that heart? That when I see somebody hurt, I hurt? Did I see somebody, I wish I could help them when I see a need? Sometimes you can't, but the heart's always there. The Lord always looks at people and say, I wish I could help them. They don't always turn to the Lord or give him the opportunity to be helping them if he could. Or to reach out to those that are hurting and all those. Sometimes I wonder if, Lord, help us. Have I evaluated? Do I really have the right evaluation of myself? I know that I'm. The one scripture says about the widows and the orphans in their distress, and keep yourself unspotted from the world. It's the perfect plan. But there's people in need, and keep yourself unspotted from the world. But there's people. These people. Then keep yourself unspotted from the world. It's so important. But there's people that have needs. There's people there. Where's our heart in this day and time? Lord, search me. Open up my heart and help me to see. I counsel thee, he says, to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. What is this gold that you're supposed to buy tried in what fire? What gold? He wants to try you into gold. That's what he wants to do. He wants to kindle and work and make you into the gold. That's what's going to be reflective in what's going to show. Gold's nothing to learn. Lord God can make gold all over the planet if he wants. He can have gold everywhere. That's not it. It's the gold of the life that he wants here. Buy of me. Come and buy of me this gold that's tried in the fire, that thou mayest, that you may be rich. Not rich with the things of this world. Not that rich with the material and secular things or in reputations and rich in those things, but rich in God. Rich with the Spirit of God. Rich in the Spirit of Christ, which reaches into who he was and his love for people and love for souls. And white raiment that thou mayest be clothed. At the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint, listen, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Well, this is going to be good, Lord. I get this eye salve on and I'll be able to straighten out my the people in our congregation. What this eye salve is going to be the miracle working stuff that's going to let me pierce through and see why you do. I'll be a great help to you all. But that's not what eye salve is for. The eye salve is so you can see what the truth about your life is. Help me to be introspective, to see, Lord, help me to see what I am and what you would have me to be, and give me the grace to be able to accomplish that. I want to look at the scripture I looked at last night just in touching this. It's in the second chapter of Revelations, I believe. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Didn't see it, did you? No. No. Until the angel comes. No. Didn't see it. It looked all good to me. But the Lord said, I got something against you. You still do the normal functions that you was taught to do. You habitually have done it. Good for you. It's the way you should respond and act to the gospel things. You should pattern yourself for regular services. Being faithful. It isn't man that set up the worship system, it was God. Okay? It's good to do. The Lord has taught us to pray and how. It's good to do all of the functions. He says that he abhors evil. He wants us to. He wants us to take the stands against it. All of those things. But they lost the reason they did it. And so the Lord looks in through all of those things. How can a man know that? Incrementally, you've left that place. It was so slow and so different. Sometimes it's hard to see. That's why that we ought to always have this prayer on our lips. Search me, O God. Yes. Lord, am I doing what I'm doing pleasing to you? Do I still love God? All this other can fade and pass away. All this other. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. All of these things. The sounding brass and tinkling cymbals and tongues of men and of angels and all of it. Man, it's got to be love. Yeah. It's got to be driven by love. None of it's meaningful unless there's a love. So he says, I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do thy first works. Another scripture I want to look at is in 1 Corinthians. Fourth chapter. Four and one says, let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. Now here's an interesting passage. I understand what he's talking about, the judgments of people. I appreciate my brother. I know all that. I know that a lot of judgments is made without even the information to make a judgment on. I've had a lot of judgments going on, leave me scratching my head about that judgment. You didn't even know what was going on. You make a judgment about it. Men can do all kinds of things with judgments. He said, it's a small thing to me that you judge me. I mean, they could come and say, I don't like that Paul's preaching and he's this or he's this. And Paul's answer to it all is that don't really matter a lot, your judgment of me, because I don't judge myself either because I'm biased towards me. And so if I was to defend myself with what you said, I automatically would be defensive and say things, but I ain't judging myself about it. I'll let the Lord do that for me. I don't know what this situation is. Somebody comes and says, Brother Marty, you shouldn't do that. Best position would be is, let me ask the Lord about that. Maybe you're right. Search me, oh Lord. Maybe that was the catalyst there. You ever think of that? There was a situation one time where David's there and here comes a descendant, I think of Saul, if I got the story right, and he's over there just running David down, cursing and swearing at David, cursing David, and one of, I think the captain says, hey, give me leave, I'll go cut his head, I'll take his head off. And David said, let him alone. Maybe, perhaps God has said, curse David. What if God's the one that's sitting down here cursing David? Maybe I need a good cursing here. Maybe I need to be fired up about this. Maybe there's something wrong with me in this whole thing. Maybe I had some position here that I shouldn't have had. I don't know, Lord. Help me.
Amen.
Help me in this situation. I don't. It's a small thing of men's judgments. Of what men think and of men do all that. I wait till the Lord. He says that, but it's small, very small, not just small, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself. Is that a position we're willing to take? This, I'm telling you, Paul's teaching us something here. I know nothing by myself. Of myself. Nothing. I take the position. I can always be wrong about something. I don't take the position that I know of myself. Yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord.
Amen.
I'm going to wait for the Lord's judgment. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord... Now listen, until the Lord come, who both will bring light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. He will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Oh, that's that thing. Lord, that's that thing. Oh, search me. See if there's any wicked way. That's it, the light that shines out the darkness. There's something there. Lord, help me. Maybe I instigate more than I think I do. There's things that happen in life, and we can either be a calming force or we can be a catalyst to greater things. Which are we? Are we a calming force to those that are... Lord, help me to have the Spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Lord, help us to be the peacemaker. Everybody likes a good fight. Everybody rush out to look at it. No, help us to be calm it down.
Yes,
Lord, help us tonight. Last scripture we want to look at is in Psalms 44. Psalms 44. In 21 says, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart.
Yes.
Lord knows the places in our life. He knows the things that we... There's a song that used to be sung around quite often at these kind of times. And the song was said, well, Brother Tony and Sister Jeannie used to sing it sometimes. There's a place in my heart. Even I won't go. Got some hidden things in there. I don't want nobody to know. There's some things in there that is kind of ugly. There's a room kind of ugly in there. God's the one that searches out those kind of places and can make them whole. You pray for